Okay, everybody, we're off to a few minutes late start, but we are here, and you have tuned in to Beyond the Matrix with Patricia Corey, the radio program that you know what it does. It dares you to think outside the box of convention, and we have been doing that rather well with some pretty exciting guests, of whom my guest tonight is no newcomer. So before I bring him on, I have a few announcements, so let me think about what those are. For starters, geez, next week I'm off to Egypt. We have Where Pharaohs Dwell group is going to spend time in the ancient land. So for those of you who are joining me, get ready. We're almost there. And for those of you who didn't make it to this group, don't forget I've got another group coming up in November, and I'll have information about that posted on my site very soon. Don't give up. All righty. I'm not going to waste any time with news tidbits when I have such a gentleman and scholar, Stephen Bassett of the Paradigm Research Group. He is an expert. He might say, oh, no, I'm not really an expert, but he is. He's a political activist, and he's an expert in the politics of disclosure. And he's been on my show, I think, at least twice. And given the latest news about the Chinese statement regarding imminent disclosure from Obama, I couldn't have a more perfect guest for today. Hiya, Stephen.
Hi, Patricia. Good to be with you.
Good to have you here. You sound so glum. What's happening?
Well, I'll tell you what. I know how we can start off our show today. Your show is called Beyond the Matrix. And as we know, the Matrix has become an extremely fashionable term, not the least of the reason being that obviously it was some very successful movies, great science fiction, loved them, seen them all 3-4 times. David Icke has obviously seized on this concept. I think almost everybody knows what it means in the modern usage, and that is we, because of the nature of the world we're in now, which is what it is, that we live in a somewhat managed information reality, that we're constantly having to engage and discern. And that increasingly that reality is disconnected from reality. And to the extent that disconnect grows, it poses all manner of problems for people if they want to leave a meaningful life, a purposeful life.
Absolutely.
So with that in mind, I want to mention two things. One, a week or so ago, I actually met with and talked with the producer of what I consider a very good program, and that is called Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. It's on Truth TV, and he really pushed it pretty hard. Certainly, there's a lot of showmanship there, and there's some hype, but he went after all of, not all of them so far, but he went after a whole bunch of issues which, frankly, are not being approached properly, and he really ripped at them and generated some heat. I thought it was a great show. One of the shows involved FEMA camps and secrecy. He went to Congress, spoke with a congressman there who actually wrote sponsored the bill. The congressman made a fool of himself on camera. The congressman then wrote a letter to Time Warner and demanded that that show be removed from Truth TV's website because it offended him. Time Warner forced Truth TV to do just that, and that show was removed from the website. Just yesterday, Comcast, another corporate cable empire, right? And the corporate cable companies, these corporations probably now are doing as much as anybody in the world to put information in front of our face, took over MSNBC, NBC. And the first thing they did was to end Keith Olbermann's contract halfway through its 4 years, undoubtedly forcing a negotiation. I think he got a settlement, I'm sure. He has to stay off the air for a certain amount of period. Let me be clear about this. This is the Matrix, and it is emerging out of a growing corporate fascism. The United States of America is heading willy-nilly, headlong, into corporate fascism. This is one of the things that Jim Mars and I definitely do agree on. And if the United, if the people of this country don't wake up pretty soon, then it's gone. Corporations are no longer the great asset, the great creator of wealth. They are that. But unfortunately, they have also become one of the two great threats, the other one being rule by secrecy, to the republic. And if we don't get it together, if we don't stop this, if we don't, first of all, take personhood status away from corporations so they can't spend billions of dollars to buy our congressmen and our congresswomen, then we, like the Romans, are going to lose this republic. It's going to be gone, and it will be exactly what the American people deserve, because they have let this happen. They have sat back. They have not acted. And so the Matrix is slowly turning them into deaf, dumb, blind, and useless. And it's one of the reasons I do what I do, because the other thing that is creating this Matrix is rule by secrecy. The systematic use of secrecy as a fundamental tool of government, which emerged after World War II and has been developed to a fine art, so that vast aspects of the reality of this world are literally kept from the people, because the government, acting as parent, has decided that we are not citizens. We are children, and we can only be told those things which children can handle.
We're more than children. We're more like slaves.
Slave children. Yeah, well, we're children now. Slave children tomorrow. It all has a predictable end game to it. These are relatively strong words from me. I don't generally go in these directions too much.
I know. Let me interject. Usually you're kind of perky, and I picked up your glumness, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and sure enough, you are deeply weighted with some things that are obviously not you're knowledgeable about and that we are all extremely concerned about. And the question is, when you first of all, you mentioned America, and I'm not sure that it's only an American problem. And secondly, the question, when are we going to wake up? I mean, we're all doing our part here, but there is such an incredible disinformation network moving that people are completely confused about what to think at all. Even the waking up group are completely deluged to the point they don't know what to think, which is, of course, part of the plan, right?
Yeah, it isn't just an American problem. You're absolutely right. Corporate fascism is making substantial headways in a number of countries, though primarily first world countries, because in the first world and somewhat democratic countries, because it's the democratic countries, interesting enough, that have given corporations the rope to hang themselves, in a sense. In other words, there are a number of nations where this isn't happening because those countries are pretty tough, maybe even almost totalitarian, and they simply don't allow corps to go where that we have here. So in a way, they have fed off of our Constitution, our goodwill, and exploited us. I mean, they have bankrupted the country. They've destroyed a number of states, including California. They've raped trillions of dollars. They stick it overseas, pay themselves hundreds of billions of dollars. We have corrupted banks. We have corrupted insurance companies. We have corrupted pharmaceutical companies. So in other words, they have abused our goodwill and our Constitution to basically rape the country. And now they want to take over what we think. They want to tell us what to eat, where to live. And it's a slow process that American people have tolerated and tolerated and tolerated until I don't know what it will take to stop it. Now, this is not my area, per se. I'm not an activist to address corporate fascism. That is a formidable task. There are a number of groups, people that are trying to deal with it. My area is the other half of the equation that has...
You're opening with this. Obviously, something has touched you that I'd like you to share with us.
Well, again, that's exactly what I'm saying. I just, within the space of 2 weeks, I learned that Time Warner basically stripped a television program off a website simply because one member of Congress was offended. And Time Warner is not in the business of teaching you or providing anything to you of information. They're in the business of simply taking your money and entertaining you. And then I just learned now that Comcast basically has just terminated the number one show on MSNBC, one of the most politically intense shows with a very strong point of view, and they basically said, get the hell out of here. And so what they're saying is, look, we're cable corporations. We're huge. We provide your cable. we will tell you, we will let you know what we want you to see and think, right?
And
you
so-
won't tell us. And so this has happened within 2 weeks, and it was just a slap across the face, both cheeks, that reminded me. And I've seen this elsewhere. I know what's going on, whether it's in, genetically modified foods or the pharmaceutical industry or just the vast rape of the country that has occurred since the October of 2008 when Lehman Brothers went down deliberately to create a crisis so the money could be stripped out of the Treasury. It's just now been hit me pretty hard that, I know how bad things are. I know where things are going. But at some point, you need to speak up a little bit. And so I'm just sort of letting you know that in addition to rule by secrecy, which is the issue I'm addressing, that the corporations are taking your country away. And there is one thing. And if disclosure takes place and I'm given a bit more of a platform to talk in a post-disclosure world, one of the absolute first things I'm going to hit as hard as I can is this. We must somehow convince our Congress that they absolutely must strip personhood status from corporations. Probably one of the biggest mistakes this country ever made. Corporations are not persons. They cannot be treated as persons under the law. This personhood status has created the basis for corporations basically to take the country and own the Congress and the presidents and anybody else that they want. Corporations per se are not evil. And properly conducted and with reasonable regulations are a huge engine of wealth. But they are also, like all centers of power, capable of unbelievable destruction. Just like the United States could do good, it could also nuke the entire planet. And so we must take personhood status away from corporations. This is absolutely essential to the American people's future. So that's out. That's off my chest. I'm cool. Let's talk about exopolitics.
I'm all depressed and I feel like eating a bowl of spaghetti. All right. Well, now I'm glad you purged yourself of that. But what we have to come up with now is the upside of this, which is, we are in duck soup. I don't deny it for a minute. What is going to happen when we talk about taking it away, taking it back? The final word of the people, quite honestly, what is that going to take? And I think that you and I both agree on that. Probably the one thing that needs to occur is disclosure. And as you remember in our last conversation, I don't think it's coming from the presidents. I think it's coming from the beings themselves. But that seems to me like just about the only thing that I can reckon that will shake up the global population enough to lift their heads from their ennui and start to take charge of their own reality and the community reality. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. I think the issue of corporate fascism is an extremely difficult, complex issue. The opposing forces have a lot of latitude to operate under the Constitution and untold hundreds of billions of dollars at their disposal. And even less restrictions in a way than, say, government does. Government does have a lot of restrictions on it because of law and so forth that corporations don't have. And so those that are saying, hey, we're going to end this corporate fascist takeover of America, they got a tough road, all right? Now, they may get some help, though, because the second half, as I've told you before, was that is essentially creating this matrix that is essentially destroying a perfectly nice country. Is rule by secrecy. And I've been embracing that phrase. It is the name of a book by Jim Mars. I don't necessarily agree with everything in the book, but I love the title. Let me tell you, it's a great title, and it sums it all up.
It's a great book as well.
I'm sorry?
It's a great book as well.
Yes. And so if you look at what has happened since 45, the creation of rule by secrecy and the systematic development of secrecy is a fundamental tool of government. There are two things that drove it. One was this Cold War, which was a pretty big deal, though most people sort of got used to it, and now we've forgotten about it. But we built 80,000 nuclear weapons. We spent $15, $18, $20 trillion, an unbelievable amount of treasure that could have solved almost all the problems on the planet. We conducted dozens of proxy wars, killed millions and millions of people, and sickened millions more. This Cold War, this thing that went on between us and the Soviet Union, was the justification for building unbelievably vast complexes of covert operations, the secret world, the secret empire, as I call it, all of the intelligence agencies, all of the budgets, black, off black, rogue, whatever, and do whatever you wanted to do, because as far as the people are concerned, look, we don't want to get nuked by the Soviets, so I don't care what you do. I don't care who you assassinate. I don't care how many underground bases you build. I don't care how many missiles you build. I don't care if you build bioweapons, whatever. We must not, you know, lose to the Soviet Union. So they had carte blanche there. But the hidden part of that story from 45 on is that the U.S. government knew, if it didn't already know, but it certainly knew in spades, in early 1947, that the ET presence was exploding. It was growing very rapidly. They had no idea what they were going to do about that. The ETs could do what they wanted. And so they made the decision that this had to be contained. And in order to do it, they had to also include in this vast secrecy world the ability and the tools to deal with the containment, the ghettoization, and the creation of UFO ET truth embargo. They spent billions on that as well. And those two things made it possible for those who run this country in the military intelligence world to justify this vast creation of rule by secrecy, in a sense. And so it happens that if you look at these two edifices, this vast secret empire and the corporate fascist world that's developing, the weak point, the one where we can break it open, is in fact on the disclosure side. The ET issue being virtually manifest reality, being global, and being virtually universally known by people in all of the first world, with all of its vast implications and potential benefits down the line, is a powerful wedge that could basically open the dam up. And it's one that we can drive. It's one that we have a lot of influence on. It's one where we use the media in our favor, garnish support, and unlike corporate fascism, there isn't any really. There's no public resistance in a sense. There's no vast store of resources that are committed to block us. There certainly is a resistance within the media, but it's not that cohesive, and so we can win this. And if we get the ET issue out, if we disclose this, it will shock the system of every living human being, and it will bring out very quickly most of the key aspects of what I'm talking about, and people will finally see. It will pull the veil from their eyes, pull the curtain down, you know, in front of the Wizard of Oz, and people will be then very, very open to the activists and the advocates out there that are saying, "My God, wake up! You're losing your country." And at that point, they may take action, and we may see dramatic change and reform in this country, in other parts of the first world, and turn this around. So disclosure is the way in. Once we are inside, then we can start changing things and restructuring the situation, which is basically ruining some very fine countries, including the United States.
Well, I agree with you completely, but my question is, you said that the mainstream media is still not doing much about the issue, and I don't know if I agree with you. I mean, we've got more and more mainstream reporting, and it appears to a lot of us that this is deliberate and that they're part of the programmed release of information to slowly prepare people for disclosure.
Well, you misunderstood. Forgive me. I didn't say it clearly enough. What I was trying to say is that the mainstream media is, in fact, corporations, not government. And so in that aspect, there is kind of a corporate resistance. But you're right. The media, whose mandate, fundamental mandate, is to break news, get scoops, win Pulitzer Prizes, unlike a lot of corporations, this mandate really is to go and get this story. You know, the mandate of the pharmaceutical industry is to sell us as many drugs as it possibly can, get us as sick as we possibly can, and make a fortune. So they're doing that. The media's mandate is, in fact, it should be on our side. They want these stories. So while there is a corporate resistance there, it is nothing compared to what we're up against in the other areas that I talked about. So yes, you're right. Media is coming around, and I think that the disclosure movement gives a lot of credit for that. I mean, nearly 20 years of pounding away at them. And my colleagues and I mean, my Lord, I have sent out something like, I don't know, 300,000, 400,000 press releases meaning, you know, one press release to 6,000 and over and over and over and over and over again. We have put out a huge amount of information. My colleagues have created documentaries. Of course, they've written tons of books. They've spoken all over the world. We have raised public awareness on this issue. And so we are bringing the media around, and we are getting substantial news cycles. Everything is being covered. And the proof of that is just go to my website, paradigmresearchgroup.org, and just go to the media archive, which is now over 5,000 mainstream articles worldwide that I've been able to archive. I think the total number of articles going back to 1947 is probably 25,000 plus. But in recent times, they're becoming more aggressive. They're stepping up to the line, but they're not going over the line. They're not really doing what would be truly appropriate coverage that would end the truth embargo. They sort of know that they can't cross that line, but they're really close. And in any day, some elements of the media are going to say enough is enough. And they're going to walk up to the Pentagon. They're going to walk up to the Secretary of State. They're going to walk up to the President's press secretary, and they're going to ask some really tough questions. And when they get a really stupid answer, they're going to ask those questions again. And when they're forced to sit down, two of their colleagues are going to stand up behind them and say, "Answer those questions." And that's the end of the truth embargo at that point. So you're right. We're close to having them, I guess you could say, do a 180. And simply walk off over to our side and say,
"Okay."
Now, there's
the Stephen Bassett optimist that I know and love.
Yes, it is. You're right. I'm back, baby.
Yeah, Stephen Bassett on fire on Beyond the Matrix. Tuning in right now. That's what I've got on. His website is paradigmresearchgroup.org. And we start out with a kind of a heaviness about situation at hand. And we are now rising to the occasion of, all right, so where do we go from here? Personally, I'm having trouble visualizing enough media people having the courage, and I'd rather use a different word, but we'll go with courage, to walk up to the president and say, "Come clean." But I believe that this is coming, the huge movement on the net, thanks to you and so many other people, is also part of forcing the issue.
Yes. I mean, the Internet has certainly provided a whole nother media approach. I recently put up a section on my website, paradigmresearchgroup.org, called Direct Media Archive. This is a very important development. It's called Direct Media, or I call it Direct Media. And what is that? It is formalized structures that are allowing people, basically just citizens who are not necessarily trained as journalists, to write news articles, write commentary, and publish them straight to the net without an editor, without a fact checker. Now, there are a number of these. First and foremost was the blogosphere. That was one of the key parts of the direct media world. The blogosphere, which is now vast and includes millions of blogs, are people that are essentially writing about what is going on, including writing what would be considered news articles onto their blogs, putting it straight up there, and they're not. There's no editor or fact checker. Okay, fine. But then there have been some funded entities that have created what amounts to news sites or information sites, again with direct journalism. And the two best known, I think, now would be The Examiner and the American Chronicle. There's also the Op-Ed News, and there's a few others. Hundreds of thousands of articles and commentary pieces are being written in this genre. The Examiner is funded by many millions of dollars, primarily Phil Anschutz, who is a billionaire based in Denver, and others. I don't know how much money is behind the American Chronicle, but it's fairly substantial. Now, not surprisingly, one of the areas that is getting a lot of attention is the UFO-ET issue. Since the mainstream media is still contained there and will only go so far, people have stepped in and they are writing extensively on the UFO-ET subject in every manner, shape, and form. And there have been many hundreds, well, I think it's many, several thousands of articles in the Examiner, Op-Ed News, and the American Chronicle alone in the last 4 years. Now, I've managed to get about 600-700 of those up on the Paradigm Research Group website in the Direct Media Archive. Now, understand that these are things being written by people without editor, without fact checker, straight out. And so one has to read them. with far more circumspection than they would necessarily reading highly established mainstream publications, though even they can be, you know, off in left field.
Even they, of course, are full of lies and slanted journalism.
But I will say this, having read a lot of it, I'm impressed with the overall quality of this direct journalism. I mean, people try very hard to try to write substantive stuff. But there's no question that if they want to go off the deep end, they will. And you sort of have to develop a certain ability to know who's gone off the deep end and who is telling you stuff that is worth to knowing, but you're not going to read in the New York Times. And so direct journalism is going away. It is here to stay. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people are now involved in it. Well, if you include the blogosphere, it's millions. But it's here to stay, and it's going to transform journalism, certainly in America, if not in the world. In other words, we're writing our own news. Now, there's not much, other than shutting down the Internet, there's really not much that the state can do about it so far. But let me make it clear. The key benefit of direct journalism is that anything can be written about. Any aspect of anything will get written about. There's not some corporation, there's not some Time Warner that's going to, quote, pull the piece off your blog or fire you. Most of these people work for free. It's all pro bono. Examiner does pay based upon clickovers, which is interesting and a little bit risky. The point is that anything can be written about. The downside is that anything can be written. Okay, and therefore you're going to have some stuff which is probably not correct, or it's a misinterpretation, or it's simply nuts. But by and large, direct journalism isn't that bad. There's plenty of direct journalism out there, every bit as good as anything you'll read in the New York Times. So you need to put your discernment hat on. You need to put your skeptic hat on and read this stuff. But it is there. And the ET issue is benefiting tremendously because every aspect of the ET issue is being written in this direct journalism world. And that's bringing the issue out. It's putting in front of people, let us debate the merits of each article. But nevertheless, it is no longer a sideshow. And so I have created the Direct Media Archive, and within a short amount of time, I expect to have probably 2,000 of these kinds of articles archived there where you can go and read what you're not able to read in the Washington Post.
And is that, can you give us the link for that, or just go to your homepage?
Again, you go to Washington, I mean, you go to paradigmresearchgroup.org, and you get to the portal page, and you'll see a quick link to both the media archive and the direct media archive.
Okay. I had Alfred Weber on a couple of weeks ago, and he was... We discussed Stanley Fulham,
yeah,
and his revelations, and I have some feelings about all of that, but I'd like to ask you about that. Fulham, as you know, for those of you just who don't know about Stanley Fulham, was a retired NORAD official who passed away December 13th. Before he passed away, he revealed that he was in contact by the Council of Eight. This is a military-type guy talking about receiving extra-dimensional contact, which is very interesting. And predicted that he predicted the October events in New York in the sky, which were monumental, and predicted that in the first 2 weeks of January there would be sufficient activity over the skies of Russia, Moscow particularly, to signal that this was in fact real and that the other predictions were real. What is your opinion about that?
Well, I can't. To the specific predictions and whether they panned out and whether they didn't pan out, I really can't speak. I'm in no position to say whether they, in fact, matched up or were supportable. However, I've seen it all. But again, it doesn't matter. What does matter, and this is the point that I think is more important, is this. I fully expected that in the last days of the truth embargo, as we sort of finally move to this rather big event in our history, that things are going to get pretty hyperbolic. I mean, this was inevitable, right? There's huge numbers of people out there that have a sense of what's going on. They know where we're going, and they're getting pretty excited about it. And as a result, and we are close to the end of the truth embargo, assuming somebody doesn't blow something up and derail us again. And we are close, and as a result, there are predictions popping up all over the place. People coming forward and predicting this and that, disclosure on a certain day, and so forth. I expected this. Does that mean that these predictions are correct? I seriously doubt it. Nobody knows exactly when disclosure is going to take place. But people want to get out there. They want to, by the way, in an environment like this, it's extremely interesting to plant this kind of stuff and just pop these things out just to keep things kind of chaotic. So right now we're in a very, very volatile time, the end, again, of the 64-year truth embargo, and we're going to see a lot of stuff being written and said and predicted as people get just really intense. And so one needs to sort of keep their bearings, take a deep breath, not get too carried away, or, as I say, follow the suggestion of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which has written on the back cover, don't panic. I think this is don't panic, right? Don't get too, it's like the person that's been running a marathon, you know, and it's been a big deal for them. It's their first one, and they're nearing the finish line and are getting all excited, and suddenly they start jumping around and they fall down, break their leg, all right? You keep cool, keep calm, keep putting one foot in front of the other. And so I'm really not investing much time in trying to say, oh, is this prediction right? Is that prediction right? So far, none of these predictions have panned out, but everybody wants them to pan out. So you predict something, everybody's looking for anything that will support it. I understand that. Look, this is a big deal. I mean, it's easy, particularly for those like myself who have been engaged in it for 10, 15, 20 years, to sort of take it for granted, but I try to remind myself every day, this is a really big deal. This isn't just another news story. This is the biggest moment to date in all of human history. Going back, pick your time, 10,000, 20,000, a million, 100 million years, this is the biggest event in the human story. Now, there may be a bigger one down the line, don't know, but up until now, this is it. And it's going to be global.
It was a pretty big event back in Atlantis and back in the Mayans and back in the Egypt. We can't speak to Atlantis, but surely we have plenty of record in Egyptian hieroglyphs and Mayan to show that there was contact, there was presence, ET presence. So, you know, it's a huge, huge civilization now. But do you adhere to the idea that we had contact way back when?
Well, my friend Shirley MacLaine lived back then and can speak to that personally. I have no memories of anything. I'm the least paranormal guy you're ever going to meet in your life, so I can't really speak to that. But I do feel very confident.
We've got all kinds of stuff in the record that you don't have to have a past life memory to recognize.
I'm not aware of that, and it's all very interesting. But I think, to me, what's important is that, yes, I believe that ET contact's been going on forever. And all of that was pretty cool. The reason why this is the most important event in human history is that, unlike, say, contact that may have taken place 20,000 years ago in Northern Europe between some Neanderthals and ETs or some Nordics and ETs, we have a fully advanced global civilization with 6 billion people.
Sure.
Vast communications. And
we
so
almost have 7 billion.
We're approaching 7, yes. And yeah. So when disclosure takes place, all 7 billion within a week or so are going to know simultaneously that we are not alone in the universe, that we are being engaged by these other civilizations, and that our future is now going to get entwined with that. And so it's profound in this sense. More people will have their lives affected in a shorter period of time than anything that's ever happened before. And of course, we're now in a civilization where we can act on it. We will soon be able to go to the stars. We have communications. We will be able to understand and learn about this. None of this was really that possible in the ancient past. And so this is the big one. This is the one where we may be directly involved in these galactic civilizations as a civilization. And so again, nothing matches this. This is it. So this is a huge thing, and it's easy to forget that. And for many millions of people who are starting to grok this, right? G-R-O-K, for those that don't remember, they're getting pretty excited, and I understand that. Okay, it's like kids, right? The night before Christmas, they get pretty worked up, and they're running around the house, and you got to calm them down, or they're going to break all the china.
The one thing that I try to remind people is let's not transfer the old waiting for the Savior, waiting for the Messiah mentality to waiting for the ETs to swoop down and fix our boo-boo, because it's our boo-boo, and we have to clean it up.
Yeah. I don't view this as messianic. I never have. Disclosure is the formal acknowledgement of the ET presence. It isn't the receiving of the Messiah.
Right.
Now, it may be that the disclosure event will allow technologies which have been sequestered behind the disclosure, the truth embargo, to be brought forward. It could have huge impact on our world condition and do a lot of good, all right? It may be that disclosure will lead to open formal contact between us and these civilizations, which might open the door for us to have access to some technology that we don't have now, in which case we might be able to solve a lot of problems. It may be the case. But disclosure is independent of all of that. Disclosure is, in fact, the acknowledgement of the ET presence. That's it, right?
Right.
It's not they're doing something for us or not doing something for us. It's
they
not
are.
Who they are, where they're from, what they eat for breakfast. It's the acknowledgement of their existence, and therefore the formal coming of age of the planet Earth as a civilization among civilizations. That's disclosure. And that is not messianic.
It's about time we come out of the orphanage of our isolation, cut off from the rest of the intelligent world or universe. All right, I'm going to open this up to questions now, because I'd like to know what you think of that. And here's your chance to ask someone in the know with any questions you've got about the disclosure movement and what you've been seeing and hearing. And the number is toll-free, 888-815-9756. Let me give it again, 888-815-9756, talking with Stephen Bassett of the ParadigmResearchGroup.org. And by the way, Stephen is one of the authors in my book, Beyond the Matrix. And I'll just mention that you might want to pick that up if you're enjoying what he's saying now, because the interview of him in that book was way back. What was it? 2 years ago, I think, Stephen.
Yeah, I think so.
And things have certainly careened forward since then. So if you've got a question, call us, and we'll put you on with Stephen. Let him answer your question. So meanwhile, Stephen, what do you make out of the latest buzz about the Chinese representative leaking that Obama is going to? Do you know anything about this story that's out?
Yes.
What's the deal?
It's one of many rumors, and that's, as far as I'm concerned, what it is. It's a rumor. No idea whether there's any substance to it or not. Again, this stuff is coming from every which way, every direction. Right now, again, in the frame of mind that we're in, there's quite a few people that are involved in very deeply in the UFO ET question, often in media, that have blogs, websites, and what have you, and they're looking for anything. And if anything pops up, they're grabbing it and run with it. Now, I understand. It's okay. I understand the emotion involved. I understand their intentions. They want disclosure, and if they see something and they feel like it can heat things up a little bit, throw that piece of kindling into the fire. But unfortunately, fact is, under those circumstances, a lot of this stuff is simply rumor that's being, pushed a little too hard. Again, I advise people to stay calm, to keep cool, to not get carried away with anything that turns up. I'm not saying something couldn't turn up, which would be flat out earth-shaking and profound. Let me tell you, if say a former Secretary of Defense of the United States goes in front of a camera tomorrow and says that I'm not with government now, but when I was, it was quite clear to me that there was an ET presence, that's a big deal, and I can assure you that will become a huge story. But right now, I wouldn't call it grasping for straws. What I would say is simply the powerful desire that people have to see this thing come to an end is put them in a hyper state of sensitivity, and they're running very hard with anything that comes down the pike.
Sure, because it's directly related to the sense of utter exasperation about the state of our world.
And, sure, I mean the government has suppressed this for 64 years. You know, I'm pretty sure you're a young lady, and I'm not old yet, but I'm getting there pretty quickly. But you and I have never known a day in our life that wasn't under the truth embargo. That's all we've ever known since we were born, and that's true of most of the American people. So we have been, this has all been kept from us, and now we're getting close to finally getting it out. So it's intense.
Anyone that's listening is got to be thinking, well, okay, great. You keep telling us that we're getting close, but give us some meat. I mean, you are a person who is so in tune with what the finger on the pulse guy. And what have you got for us that is maybe something that we haven't heard yet?
Well, I mean, if you want to, the best window into the political engagement of this issue is the Rockefeller Initiative. And what you have to do is you go on the web and you Google Rockefeller Initiative and you read up on it. There's a huge amount of material at Grant Cameron's website, UFOPresidency.com. UFO.com. There is quite a bit of information on my website at paradigmresearchgroup.org, and there's other material, Rockefeller Initiative. This is a thread that runs from 1993 all the way to the present. The key figure in the middle of it is a gentleman by the name of John Podesta. So you can actually see something happening within the Democratic Party that I believe that they did plan to have disclosure. They wanted to do it, and I still think they intend to. But that's a two-hour show. I can't go there. But let me then tell you, give you a little snapshot of where things are. One of many reasons why disclosure is imminent, barring a catastrophe, in other words, a nuclear terrorist attack, a war breaking out between major countries, a meteorite, you know, destroying the planet, whatever. Barring that happening, and I'm very worried that something like that could happen, disclosure is close, and one of the reasons, key reasons, is that starting in 2000, 9 years after the Cold War was over, 9 years into what was supposed to be the great peace dividend, meaning the Cold War is over, let's now take care of the planet, which is not what happened, a number of the countries that have been cooperating with the United States, gone along with it, complied with it, agreed with it, that the truth embargo would be maintained until the U.S. was ready to end it, started to break ranks. And then two other things have happened. The Russia, former Soviet Union, and Communist China, who were quite happy to go along with the truth embargo, not to please the United States, but because their totalitarian regimes would have been dramatically impacted by telling their people, oh, don't worry about Mao, and don't worry about Marx and Engels, and Lenin. You know, there's a whole civilization out there of advanced beings, and we're going to learn about them soon. They weren't going to do that. So, but since 2000, that's changing. The Communist China is emerging as a major world power. It is instituting a number of various reforms. It has a space program. It's going to the moon. It's going to Mars. They support UFO research, and so their attitude has changed. And Russia, which very much desperately wants to become a major power again, and of course knows about the ET presence, and has had the second largest space program since the beginning, they're in play. And so you've got Russia, China, you've got Britain, France, you've got Canada, you've got Brazil, you have a number of countries that, in fact, if they wanted to, could end this truth embargo tomorrow. And so, and that started to emerge in 2000, with France really started it with the Cometa report, and it's been growing ever since. And so what we have now is a disclosure race. We had an arms race. We had a space race. Now we have a disclosure race. It's no longer just a question of the U.S. doing it. The United States is no longer what it was. It's no longer the country that can just tell the world to jump, and the world simply says, how high? Those days are over. That ship has sailed. We have squandered most of that prestige and ability through unbelievably bad governmental policies and an unbelievable squander of our wealth. And so consequently, it's no longer the U.S. to disclose. There's at least 7, 8, 9, and soon there'll be 10 countries capable of ending this embargo. And so now what do you do? So that is probably the major change between since 2000.
If you're saying it's a race, I'm perplexed because they've got the information, so why don't they come out with it if they're racing to be the first?
Well, what can I say? Remember the space race? Right? You had two countries trying to see who could be the first to the moon. Well, they got there when they got there. And so now you've got a number of countries trying to be the first to disclose. Now, I don't know what the complex equations is they're trying to solve. Each one of those nations, whether it's Russia or China, whether it's the UK or France, down in their military intelligence world, there are people that understand this issue, and they're sitting around tables, probably, well, not now, it's a weekend. Even disclosure, you know, gotta take a weekend off. The point is they're sitting around tables trying to decide, do we disclose the ET presence? Now, each one of these countries faces a different matrix, if you will, of issues to face on that. And they have to solve those equations. But one of these nations is going to do that. They're going to run the equations through, and the answer is going to come out disclosure, and they're going to do it. And their leader, their president, their premier, whatever, is going to go in front of the cameras worldwide, and they're going to announce to their citizens, along with some evidence, which will be fairly impressive, that the ET presence is real. And then the other countries in the world will have to follow suit within days, probably, if not a week or two, period. They just will have to.
Wouldn't you think?
What now?
Within hours?
Well, I don't know. They couldn't within hours, I don't think, because if one of these countries acts, I doubt that they're going to inform the others, oh, you know, in a week we're going to announce the ET presence. They're not going to do that. They're just going to do it, right? It's going to be like a surprise party. And so these other nations, U.S. and who else, are going to be, oh, God, Canada went and announced the ET presence. What are we going to do? And so they all have to have some emergency meetings. And it'll take a day or two for them to get their act together. Some of them will say, oh, no, we'll just tell everybody that Canada or France or UK are all insane now. And there's really no ETs, but they're just playing a practice, whatever. Some idiot will raise their hand and say that. The point is it'll take a day or two to get their act together, and then they'll just start falling like dominoes one after another. So the situation now is it's just no longer a U.S. matter. And that's one reason why it's inevitable. Right? Look, let me tell you something. If there hadn't been this huge, you know, male, you know, how would you say, thing that between the Soviet Union and the United States, where we were, you know, you had two groups of a bunch of white guys who each believed they were the cat's meow, and they were going to prove that the other one was inferior. If they didn't have that thing, we would have probably made it to the moon in 20 years. Right? It'd be like, who needs to go to the moon? The Russians aren't going. Why should we spend the money? But once that thing was in place, we went there in 7 years. Okay? It's just the way humans are.
Thank God for testosterone.
I'm sorry?
I'm being tongue-in-cheek here, but I was saying, I guess we should all thank God for testosterone that keeps driving the male population.
Okay, testosterone. I thought you were talking about an Italian meal. Yeah, you're right. testosterone has led to a lot of things. Let's just say that the disclosure race, as compared to some of the other things we've had, is got a lot more going for it. And I can tell you this, there's a lot more women involved in this issue and wanting the truth in this issue, and part of this, I guess you could say, process, than were involved in the space race and certainly the arms race. Generally, women are more open to this because this truth process in this unfolding process, which is going to lead us hopefully to some real opportunity for change and reform, and it's something that women can grasp. It's a non-destructive thing, this disclosure thing. So women are on board here. That's another reason why I think it's going to end. There's a broader, disclosure is being pursued in countries all over the world. The Exopolitics World Network is growing. There's two more countries about to come on board. And it transcends race, it transcends religion, it transcends gender.
If I can interject, it brings hope. I didn't mean to get into a male-female argument here, but it brings hope that we are potentially looking at a possibility of returning to the nurturing female energy on this planet by embracing and accepting a reality that is completely diverse in the self-extinguishing warrior mentality of planet
sure.
Earth.
Disclosure is one of a number of processes where we are going to be able to move away from what has been a male-dominated human civilization since the flood, going back approximately 12,000 years. And this process is underway in regardless of disclosure, but it is an important component of it. We're a world where we're going to have female presence and power manifesting in all aspects of society. Some parts of the world would be behind others, and that's going to be essential to our survival. I mean, the male-dominated world doesn't work anymore. It simply doesn't work. The nature of the problems that we face as a highly populated, complex planet cannot be dealt with by this narrow male focus that has run things. And I guess, you can give the guys some credit for keeping things together, but they can't. It's not enough anymore. So we've got to get the women involved and their worldview involved very quickly, or this whole thing will fall apart.
You know, I'd like to just say that when we're talking about male and female, I'd like to go more into the yin-yang aspect of that and say that we need more heart-centered people, whether they're men or women. We need the yin vibration and we are headed to this, thank God. But the force, the dominance, the warrior has to go, and the embracing, the nurturing, the accepting is well timed.
It's not an accident that the environmental movement was essentially launched by a woman, Rachel Carson. It's not an accident that some of the earliest people talking about Earth as a home, as a spaceship, was Barbara Ward. The idea of this Earth is our home that absolutely must be protected, it must be nurtured, is a concept that is really not that old. It is primarily being driven by women, and that shouldn't surprise anybody. The fact that a lot of men are signing on is a good thing and a good sign. This is our home. This is our mother, in a word. Whether it's alive, whether it's or not, doesn't matter. We don't take care of it. We're toast. We're done. And let me tell you, we've done about everything we can to screw it up. We've polluted every river in the world. We are in the process of destroying the oceans. We've done serious damage to the ozone. We've got weather situations completely out of control. We don't know what to do about them. The amount of pollution, there have been thousands of nuclear explosions that have been set off since 1945. The cancer rate has gone from, I don't know, 1 in 8 to 1 in 3. Soon it'll be 1 in 2. I mean, we've done just about everything we can to completely trash the entire planet. And when I say we, I mean men, all right? Women are saying, my God, is that a good idea? I mean, do you really want to do this? So they're trying to step up. They're trying to influence, and they are making progress. Unfortunately, the transition to a yin-yang, equally proportioned rule or governance is still many, many decades away, and we don't have that luxury. We don't have that time. And so disclosure is essential to bias the time, to bring in this huge change, open many doors, and accelerate perhaps this changeover from almost totally male-dominated society and start addressing the problems that they can't be addressed unless both men and women and their worldviews are being brought to bear together. This is another way to look at what is a very complex situation.
We're coming to the end of the time, and I've got to cut you off on that thought and leave people with one interjection, which is let the children learn. I hate to sound like a radio, a song title, but teach the children well, because the old paradigms of male against female and good against evil have to go so that we can turn things around here. And to all of you, men and women alike, who have been tuned in tonight, know that, yes, Stephen is a powerful voice, helping us try to get ourselves around the disclosure end of the truth embargo. It's been an honor to have him. I'm sorry I didn't call in and ask him questions so that you could pick his brain, but I'm sure he'll come back on, as he is now a regular on Beyond the Matrix. So thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome. Keep up the good work.
And if you need moral support, give me a buzz, and I'll help you work through the angst overruled by secrecy.
Okay, fair. I'll keep in mind.
Jim Mars is also a wonderful person. He's been a guest, too. That is the title of his book. I recommend you read it. So there you go. It's ParadigmResearchGroup.org. The guest, Stephen Bassett. This is Patricia Corey reminding you to soar with the eagles in the free thought zone and never become disempowered by what surrounds you. Every thought affects reality, and this is our call to the new dawn. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be with you next week. Please put your comments into the come to Facebook. Tell me your comments, what you thought of the show. Let's keep the dialogue going and stay focused. My love around you. Bye-bye.